Welcome to Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at a metal that's, well, pretty much everywhere, but maybe not always top of mind. We're talking about aluminium.
That's right.
Our discussion today is based on a really interesting piece from Etta Group called Aluminium, the Lightweight Metal Driving a Heavyweight Transition. And our goal here, our mission, if you like, is to unpack how this incredibly common metal isn't just in your soda cans, but is actually a critical player, maybe a challenging one too, in this big global shift towards a greener future.
Yeah, and it's super relevant right now, isn't it? With everyone pushing for net zero. The fascinating thing is this constant tension, you know, between its amazing properties and, well, its environmental footprint, which is surprisingly large. I think you might look at everyday objects a bit differently after we chat.
Definitely. I mean, one thing that jumped out right away from the article, this idea that aluminium, which is literally the most abundant metal in the Earth's crust.
Yeah, it's everywhere underground.
It was once considered more precious than gold. How does that even happen? How did it go from rare luxury to, well, foil in our kitchens?
It's a great historical nugget, isn't it? For ages, getting it out of the ground, isolating it, was just incredibly difficult and expensive, pure luxury. But then the game changer was the Hall-Héroult process. That came along in 1886.
Oh, okay.
And that development basically unlocked commercial production, scaled it right up.
Yep.
And that's why it's, you know, all around us now.
And when you say all around us, you really mean it. Cans, cars, electrical cables, buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, just take a second. Think about how many aluminium things you've probably already touched today. It's woven into modern life.
Absolutely. And it's not just there by chance. It's because of its specific properties, like that amazing strength to weight ratio.
Right. Crucial for planes, lighter cars.
Exactly. Lighter EVs mean better range, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's its resistance to corrosion. Things last longer. Plus, it's a great conductor. These aren't just minor benefits. They make it incredibly valuable in so many areas. Aerospace is obvious, but yeah, right down to that kitchen foil.
Okay, but here's where, for me, it gets really interesting, especially thinking green. It's 100% recyclable.
Crucially, yes.
And not just recyclable, but without losing quality. That feels fundamental, different from plastic recycling, say.
It absolutely is fundamental.
Yeah.
And connecting that property to the bigger picture, it makes aluminium totally key for the circular economy idea. You can just reuse it over and over. That makes it a powerful weapon against, say, single-use plastics or even high-carbon stuff like steel in some applications.
So for you listening, this translates directly into potentially less waste and a smaller carbon footprint from the stuff you use every day. It actually matters.
It really does make a tangible difference.
Okay, so we get why it's everywhere. But let's shift gears a bit. Why is it suddenly becoming so indispensable right now? Especially with this massive global push for decarbonization, net zero.
Mm-hmm.
The article says demand is shooting up. Why now?
Yeah, that's a critical point. It's turning out to be vital for so many clean technologies. Think electric vehicles, making them lighter, boosts efficiency, extends battery range.
Right. Less weight, less energy needed.
Exactly. Then you've got solar panel frames, the housings for wind turbines, big uses there. And increasingly, battery casings, not just for cars, but phones, grid storage.
Wow, okay.
And energy-efficient buildings rely on it, too. It's not just us saying this. Look, the International Energy Agency, the IEA, they specifically point to aluminium as essential for hitting those net-zero targets.
The IEA themselves, okay.
Which naturally leads to the big question. Can we actually make enough of this stuff sustainably to meet this rocketing demand?
Ah, and there's the catch. The heavyweight challenge we hinted at. Yeah. Aluminium production.
It takes a lot of energy, right? It really does. That's the major downside. The stats are pretty stark. Making primary aluminium, that's new metal from ore, uses roughly 40% more energy than making copper.
40% more. Wow.
Yeah. And get this. Energy costs can be up to 40% of the total production cost for primary aluminium.
40% of the cost is just power.
Just power. And the real kicker, around 60% of the world's primary production is still powered by fossil fuels.
60%. Oof. So that massive energy footprint, especially the fossil fuel part, does that kind of undermine its green credentials? How do we square that circle?
That is the core challenge, absolutely. Unless that energy source shifts massively towards renewables for making the new metal,
right,
then aluminium's full sustainability potential is, well, it's compromised. We desperately need cleaner energy for that initial smelting process. But thankfully, there is a very powerful solution right there.
Which is?
Recycling. Recycled aluminium uses up to 95% less energy than making it from scratch.
95% less energy?
95%. It's a staggering difference. Truly transformational.
That number, 95%, it almost makes you angry about single-use plastic, doesn't it? When you see what's possible with aluminium, it really changes your perspective on recyclable.
It does. It's a huge incentive for industry, too.
And we are seeing some positive movement. The article mentions growing investment in closed-loop recycling, especially in packaging and cars.
Yes, that's definitely happening. Global investment is picking up. Closed-loop systems, where cans become cans again or car parts become car parts, are becoming more common. And the IEA, they actually have a hopeful projection here. They estimate that by 2030, something like 42% of all aluminium supply could come from recycled sources.
42% by 2030. That's significant progress.
It's a vital step for decarbonization. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it shows how our choices, you know, choosing recycled products combined with industry pushing for better systems, it genuinely makes a difference across the whole life cycle.
But it's not all smooth sailing, even with recycling. The article mentions other hurdles, right? Things like smelting capacity, energy prices varying wildly, and environmental rules being different everywhere. It sounds like a complex global puzzle.
It is complex. And we can't ignore the environmental side of mining either, even for a metal that's abundant. Extracting the raw material, bauxite, can lead to biodiversity loss. It uses a lot of water and potentially displaces communities.
Especially in places without strong environmental laws, I imagine.
Exactly. Which really underlines how important responsible sourcing is. We need global collaboration across the whole supply chain. This stuff impacts real communities, real ecosystems, not just corporate bottom lines.
Okay, so let's try and pull this all together. Aluminium, clearly it's fundamental to modern life, modern infrastructure.
Absolutely.
And it's becoming a powerhouse, a catalyst for clean technology. Its role is only going to get bigger in a low-carbon world, seems like.
No doubt about it. It's critical for the green transition. But, and it's a big step, but meeting that future demand sustainably, that's going to take serious investment. Investment in renewable energy to power those smelters.
Right.
Much better, much wider recycling infrastructure, and genuinely responsible sourcing from mine to finished product. It has to be a joined up global effort.
So aluminium might be lightweight.
Physically, yes.
But its future role in global sustainability, as we've talked about today, it carries some serious weight for all of us.
We'll put.
Makes you think, doesn't it?